The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to the WordPress Community Podcast, the essential source for news and information on the most popular blog publishing tool on earth. Learn about the newest updates and plugins, as well as exclusive interviews with WordPress experts that are sure to help you enhance your skill set. Now, please welcome the hosts of the WordPress Community Podcast, Joost Ivanck and Frederik Towns.
Hey, everyone. We're here back for another week. Last week, we had about 10 minutes to talk to Tony Schneider. And, we sort of guessed we needed a couple more. So we asked him to come back, and he's here with us this week already. So, hi, Tony. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Nice to be on the show.
Very good. And we've got Frederik with us as well.
Hey, everybody.
So we're actually good for another show, I think. Last week's big news is probably still the biggest news we've had for a while in the WordPress area, and with the Microsoft LiveSpaces deal. If you haven't listened to that episode, just go to wp-community.org and listen to it. But I was wondering, Tony, have you seen any people move over already, or do you guys keep track of that?
We had to add some servers to handle all those imports. So importing is, 100,000 blogs, that's a lot of posts and comments, and, those imports take a while. So our importers have been working overtime. And in terms of overall load on WordPress.com, that's going to go up gradually as the traffic from those blogs starts to come over to WordPress.com.
Yeah, so what happens is those blogs all get redirected to WordPress.com, right? So basically you
Correct.
Just got so yourself 100,000 new clients.
Yes, exactly. And so once the blog has completed migration, then Microsoft flips the switch, and all of the previous traffic gets redirected to us.
Okay, pretty cool. So that must be exciting times for you guys and a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely. And we do, we are working to, welcome those new users to our system and explain how WordPress works and how to keep blogging on our system.
Cool. Very cool. So, I jumped right into that, but I actually wanted to do a bit more of a formal introduction. Your job title at Automattic is CEO, which basically means you actually are the guy running the show, I guess.
Yes, I'm the CEO of Automattic. So, I mostly these days, deal with just operating the company and making sure we have enough money in the bank to keep going.
Is that something you guys have to worry about?
No, we've actually been pretty conservative in the way we've grown the company. We have raised some venture capital money, and part of my job is to work with our investors. But we have been near break even in terms of making just about as much money as we need to keep going for the entire 4.5 years of the company now. So we've been growing as we make more money. We've been adding more people.
Cool. And how many people is that in total now for Automattic?
We're at 70 people.
Okay. From all around the world, I noticed, because I was in Bulgaria last weekend for WordCamp Bulgaria, where I met Nikolai again, who lives there and works for Automattic. But you guys are actually all over the globe, aren't they?
We are. We are a distributed company. We have people in, I believe it's 14 countries so far. And we have two in Bulgaria, actually, Nikolai and Thorsten.
Yeah, indeed. I think I actually met Thorsten too, but I'm not entirely sure. Sorry, Thorsten.
So I wanted to ask Tony if he could tell us a little bit about his history before Automattic and kind of what brought him to WordPress.
Sure, yeah. I've been in a number of Silicon Valley startups. So I've sort of been a startup guy. And I started out, I didn't grow up in the U.S. actually. I grew up in Switzerland, and I moved to California when I was 19 because I was really into computers and I wanted to study computer science in California. So I did, and then right out of college, I joined a startup in Palo Alto, and sort of ever since I've been, I sort of caught the bug. And the right before Automattic, I was at Yahoo for a year and a half, and that was because they had acquired a previous startup where I was CEO. It was a company called Authpost. We made a webmail client, a webmail system that Yahoo acquired, and turned into the new Yahoo Mail. So, and then when I was, while I was at Yahoo, I was introduced to Matt Mullenweg and to WordPress, and you know, started following that project. And then when Matt decided that it was time to start a company based on WordPress, he asked me to join as CEO. That was in late 2005.
Okay. So what was it in particular that made the offer from Matt so sweet? I mean, what is it that you noticed about WordPress? The community, you know, what in particular?
So I've, throughout my career, the companies I've joined or been part of, it's usually been based on just really falling in love with a product. And I remember first, when I first saw WordPress, I think it was in 2004, probably, just having one of those moments where you just find a product and just think it's great. And I was using it and sort of watching it and, you know, talking to a number of people in the community for about a year, and just really, really enjoyed it and thought it had great potential. So it was sort of by the time Automattic was formed and asked me, I was already sold on the idea.
Awesome. So Yost, he was a user and part of the community from way back in the day. I think that's awesome.
It's pretty cool, especially if you imagine that at that time the community wasn't that big yet. Because when Automattic started, how many users did WordPress have? Did you have an estimate at that time?
When we started Automattic, we didn't have exact numbers back then, but our guess is that it was probably maybe about 200,000 users at the time. And today we're at, I believe, 26 million if you count both WordPress.com and WordPress.org. So we've seen tremendous growth on both sides, the .com side and the .org side.
Yeah, and the growth seems to be speeding up lately because we're seeing more and more talks about WordPress becoming the biggest CMS out there. What I was wondering is, I'm seeing all sorts of figures floating around the web now about which percentage of the web is powered by WordPress. Do you have any figures that are actually correct?
Yeah, we've seen a number of figures. The one we've been using is the 8.5% number that Dries, actually from Drupal, I think is the source of that number. And we thought, since, you know, Drupal is another CMS, a competitive CMS with WordPress, that, you know, if we take a number from them, it's probably you know, somewhat credible, since, you know, it's not coming from us. There's also a research group in the UK called Netcraft, and they track CMS market share, and it's research that people have to buy. It's not publicly available, but we've been looking at their numbers, and they come in at a very similar range. So we sort of feel like that's, you know, it's probably pretty accurate.
So that would mean in between 5% and 8%.
Yeah, I'd say between 5% and 10% for sure. And, you know, it's also, you know, these numbers are a little bit, you know, depends on how you count. You know, people try and figure out how many active websites are there actually on the web, and what does active mean? Does it mean they get traffic? Do all those landing pages count? That, you know, that all those domain landing pages and all those kinds of things. So people have a, you know, different estimate on how many websites there actually are, you know, on the entire web. But again, sort of, you know, that once you look at numbers across a few different data sets, then WordPress is consistently, you know, in the 5% to 10% range, and also it's consistently one of the biggest, or the biggest, web CMS at this point. because, you know, the majority of websites out there don't use a CMS. They're just hand-coded. So once you look at just CMSs, I think WordPress is way up there.
Yeah, it's very cool and good to be a part of that, to be honest. I think both Frederick and I are seeing the effects of the rapid growth of the community and what that does to businesses based on it. So that's a good thing. What are your plans for Automatic for the future? You guys plan on keeping growing like in the pace you are in now, or any bigger plans?
We definitely keep growing. Like I said earlier, we've sort of been taking it, you know, one step at a time. As we make more money, we hire more people. So we plan to continue to do that and to continue to expand. And really, as a company, we're obviously we run WordPress.com, so we're very much identified with the WordPress movement. But I always want to point out, and you know, that WordPress.org, the open source project, and Automatic are two separate things. And when we set up Automatic, WordPress, the software and the open source community already existed, and we really wanted to be sure and make clear that our company is going to be separate from it, that the open source community is not owned by the company. Because when companies do that, usually the open source project suffers. And so we wanted to make sure from day one that we keep those two as separate as possible. We have Automatic that focuses on commercial services, a for-profit company. We build things that we charge for. And we have the open community that really has as its primary mission not to make money, but to have an open source project and, you know, protect its freedoms and have it available to anybody for anything they want to use it. And so we want to continue that. And as I said earlier, both sides of this equation have done really well. And we spend a lot of time thinking about what we can do to sort of reinforce each other. So at Automatic, we build the kinds of services that just can't be built by an open source community. And that was really the genesis of the company, was when WordPress got pretty big, like we said earlier, a couple hundred thousand people. But there were certain things that the open source community couldn't do. For example, spam started to be a problem on blogs, and the spam solutions that were emerging just weren't able to keep up with the spammers. And we felt like we could build a centralized spam service, which became Akismet, that could really take care of this problem. But it had to be run by a company because it's a centralized service and, you know, takes servers and it costs money to run. Same with WordPress.com. We felt like we could bring a lot more people into the WordPress community if we had a hosted service that was just super simple to sign up and get started, but it required a company to run it. So those are the kinds of services we want to run at Automatic and continue to build out, just things that build on top of WordPress but make it better and enhance people's blogging experience. And we're going to continue to invest in those.
Very cool. So, in that respect, I mean, you've mentioned a couple of services now, but what's the service at Automatic that you're most proud of?
Oh, I like all of them. I would say, you know, the one we've probably been working on hardest recently in terms of an add-on service for WordPress is VaultPress, which is our real-time backup service for WordPress blogs. And, you know, this is, like a lot of things we've done, this is a service that we built for WordPress.com that we just needed to build to make that service better, and we've now sort of extracted it out and also made it available to users of the WordPress.org software. And it's a really cool service. It's very, it's technically very interesting, and I think it provides a really much-needed service to WordPress blogs, especially ones that have big blogs with a lot of content, you know, that change a lot, and, you know, people who base their businesses on WordPress, to have a great backup solution, I think, is really important. So that's one that, has been on our mind because it's been we've launched it. It's in private beta now. It's going to open up to the public. So that's been exciting. But we have a lot of different projects going, and we'll launch more that are sort of along the lines of a WordPress type service, so services that make your WordPress blog faster, safer, more secure, more protected. Just as more and more people build really big sites on WordPress, those services become very important.
Very cool. So there's just too much questions to ask, Tony, but I'll just go through the list that I had in my head. The whole automatic experience in working with a distributed company like that, which is something I think not a lot of companies are able to do well. Has that made your company a better one, in your opinion, or has it made things harder?
I think it's a really good fit for us. It's not, you know, there. You can build a centralized company or a distributed company. I think, you know, either model can work. I think it's tough to do both. I've heard a lot of people who've had a hard time working for companies that are sort of part centralized, and some people work remotely, and it's really difficult to integrate the two. But I think you can pick one or the other, and they can both be great. For us, the distributed model just made a lot of sense, because even when we started the company, you know, the first 4 or 5 people were already spread all over the world, because it was a bunch of the core WordPress contributors at the time who started at the company. Actually, the first employee was Donica, who lives in Ireland, and then Ryan Bourne was in San Jose at the time, Andy Skelton was in Texas, Matt and I were in San Francisco. So instead of trying to get everybody to move to one place, we said, well, let's just start, we will continue on in this distributed mode. And then it's just worked really well for us as we've continued in that mode, and we've invested a lot to make sure that that works for us. That, I mean, we have a lot of internal communication tools. We use IRC a lot. We use Skype a lot. We use our P2 blocks, our group blocks a lot, just to make sure that we have sort of constant communication. We do a lot of meetups, so people meet up in person. We just last month spent a week in Florida, the entire company together, and then smaller teams within the company. Some of the product teams are doing their own meetups where they meet up for a few days and just spend time in person. And we also encourage people at Automatic to go to work camps. If there's a work camp nearby, go there and, you know, maybe meet up with a bunch of other people. So you have to do some of those things to make sure that, you know, as a distributed company, you have the communication and the exchange of ideas that you need. But if you solve those problems, you can get huge benefits on the other side, because people can work wherever they are. You can live anywhere you want in the world. You can spend a lot more time with your family if you're working from home. We can recruit anywhere in the world. We don't have to, you know, pick one place and only hire people who are there, talk people into moving there. Just really a lot of benefits that I think make it totally worthwhile.
So who does all that hiring within Automatic? Is that you, or is that Matt, or how does it happen? Because I can imagine that being quite a weird process when you're hiring people from all over the world, because how would you set, for instance, a pay rate when someone lives in Bulgaria and not in the U.S.?
Yeah, so that hiring is a little bit different, and Matt does a lot of it. I do some of it. We have other people in the company starting to do some of the hiring. A lot of it actually comes out of work camps, traveling around and meeting people there. Now, the process that we've developed over the years has a couple of elements that I think are different than getting a job at a regular company. One is that we try and do trial projects with people first, where we say, you know, this looks like it could be a good fit, but let's try it out, and let's pick a project for 2, 3, 4 weeks where we just pay you as a consultant, and we'll see how it goes. And for both sides, so we just see how somebody operates in a distributed environment, and somebody who's thinking about joining the company sees what it's really like to work with us and to work from home. And then another thing we do is, once somebody joins, the first 3 weeks of anybody, it doesn't matter what you're eventually going to work on at Automatic, your first 3 weeks are going to be spent in customer support with our happiness team. So just getting to know people, sort of getting to know the company and working directly with our customers and hearing from them. And that's worked really well to just kind of get people into the flow of how things work and how all the systems work.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely awesome, and that more companies, especially the very big ones, should be doing that. There's nothing as humbling as being in customer support for a couple of weeks. Does it also mean that you go back into customer support every once in a while?
Yeah, actually, we try and do all that. I do part of customer support still to this day. I deal with a lot of the sort of terms of service and potential legal issues these days. But we really try and encourage everyone to be part of customer support, because it just, there's nothing like hearing directly from people using your software.
It's just, it's absolutely cool. Has that ever meant someone to, that someone left during the first 3 weeks? I'm just curious.
Sorry, say again.
Has it ever meant that someone left during the first few weeks because they couldn't handle the customer support part? Or is are your products so good that the support, doing support, is actually not that bad?
No, somebody, nobody's run away in horror.
Well, that's good to hear. But I want to switch gears real quick, Tony, because you mentioned something that Lloyd Budd also mentioned, I think, yesterday on his blog, foolswisdom.com, I think it's called. He said something to the effect, well, he said two things that I think are interesting, and I want you to weigh in on them. One of them is, and you alluded to this earlier in the conversation, talking about, Drupal and the stigma that is kind of cast on WordPress. And I liked how in this conversation you used the word blogs, but then later you also used the word sites. I mean, how does the Automattic team feel about, and I know there's a, we had Matt Mullenweg on the show, he talked about the showcase, but how does the Automattic team feel about these stigmas and where WordPress is going as a CMS, and how the rest of the open source community sees WordPress? What do you guys feel about that, and how does that look in the future?
Yeah, I think that the trend of WordPress becoming a CMS is undeniable. I think some people don't like the term CMS, and so it's a very technical term, and a lot of regular people don't know what that means. So we just like to talk about sites. WordPress is a tool that people use to create websites, and some of those websites are blogs, and some of them are, news sites, and some of them are something else. But that's just something that's been happening over the last several years with WordPress, and that's what, the beauty of an open platform and an open source project is that, people do with it what they want, and you sort of follow the lead of what people do with their software rather than trying to sort of predict the future or tell people what to do with it. So we are just essentially responding to what people are doing and want to be doing with the software. And for us as a business, we like the trend because it means more people can use WordPress. And also a lot of our services, our add-on services, that's how we make money. And they're not specific to blogging, right? It doesn't matter if you have a blog or a company website, you're still going to want to back it up probably. So. You might, as long as you have comments on your site, you're probably going to get spam, and you're going to need an anti-spam solution. So for us as a business, it's a trend that makes a lot of sense, and I think it's just going to continue. It's one, I would say, of several high-level trends that are just going on overall. So obviously one of them is people want to build more websites and, using a CMS. But we also see a bunch of other big trends that I think are really going to shape WordPress and our company in the next year or two. And one of them clearly is social and social publishing. We've seen in the early years a lot of focus for WordPress was on SEO because that was the main way people got traffic to their sites. And WordPress has always been really strong in SEO. And that's changing now. SEO is still important, but all of a sudden people are getting tons of traffic from social sites, from Facebook and from Twitter and from other places. And So we're seeing a lot more activity in just WordPress users and publishers trying to figure out how to optimize that and what does that look like? How do I participate in that? So I think that's a huge trend. And again, that applies to not just blogs, but all types of websites. Another big one is mobile. We've been working on mobile apps now for iPhone and BlackBerry and Android for a couple of years, and starting with the iPhone app, we now have over 1 million people using various mobile WordPress apps, and
like me,
a huge number.
Yay! Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so that's something, and you know, that's great today, and you know, a lot of people like those apps, but I'm not going to be surprised if those apps look very different 2 or 3 years from now, because that's something that's still evolving, and people are figuring out how to best take advantage of these new platforms. So I'd say those are some of the trends that I think are, you know, new ones to pay attention to.
Well, now you've made me want to talk about some other things, but one of the things that I've noticed in talking to you and Matt is really kind of made this bubble up in my mind, so to speak. Automattic is focused on closing these circles, or closing these loops, I should say, excuse me. And the way that Yost and I characterize this when we talk shop now and again is similar. You know, we look at the needs of various people in the community, and we figure, you know, what is it that closes the gap, bridges the gap, or closes the loop? And I think that's why, you know, we really like the WordPress community so much, because there's just so much opportunity there, and especially with mobile. And that brings me, ironically, to another thing. One of the big trends that's coming, and it's existed for a long time, but now it's just got a new nomenclature and it's becoming a buzzword of sorts, is the whole game mechanics aspect of things. And I'm wondering in particular what you guys might be working, and obviously you may not be able to tell me, but what you guys might be working on that's along the lines of like Badgeville, and there's just a number of these other companies out there who are empowering is a cliche word, but it's the only one that comes to mind. They're empowering publishers with these capabilities that drive time on site and engagement and, you know, all these kinds of intangibles similar to, you know, what a Foursquare or Gowalla is doing, except for, you know, for publishers. Are you guys thinking about bringing elements like that to WordPress.com in the future, or how do you feel about that trend in general?
We are thinking about it. It's definitely a new trend, and I very, you know, early stages of figuring things out. One of the things we've talked about is how, in terms of sort of game mechanics and rewards, how, you know, at the core of the WordPress experience is publishing. So you create something and you hit publish and it goes out to the world. And then you sort of wait. And, you know, there's no sort of feedback. There's nothing rewarding you at that point for, you know, you've created something, you've published it to the world, and nothing really happens for a little while. You know, hopefully then people come and they comment and it's fun. But so we've talked about that moment of publishing as something that should be more rewarding, and maybe we can do some things to help with that, and to show you also all the work that WordPress does for you when it's actually publishing your post and sort of sending it out to all these different places in the world. I think that's kind of exciting. It all happens under the hood right now, but, you know, showing that to people and tying that in somehow with more of a reward system or reward moment, I think would be interesting. And then we've also thought about it, and a lot of people have thought about it with regards to comments, because, you know, comments are, you know, one of the most exciting things about blogging. It's one of the biggest reasons why people blog, and it's also one of the frustrations, right, where people feel like they don't get comments, and, you know, is anybody actually paying attention, and does anybody care about what I have to say? So, and I think it's an area where, you know, we could make more fun. We could do something there to reward people more, because right now it's, you know, it's a little bit dry. You just go in and you say your thing and maybe you come back and sort of watch the answers, but it's definitely not game-like.
Right. Well, I suppose it's true. It's not terribly game-like, but, I mean, Intense Debate, which is an automatic product for those who don't know, it does offer some I'm forgetting the nomenclature for it now, but basically you can have a profile and you can have a rating, right? So there's that feedback loop and that piece of every of the commenting system, and that's obviously available on WordPress.com. So I mean, there's a hint of game mechanics here or there, but you know, obviously more can be done, and you know, the reason why I bring it up is, you know, closing the loop and getting the engagement is still a key and vital piece of publishing, to be sure. One of the other things that was actually pretty interesting to me is that you guys have so many products and there's so many different things out there that are available, you know, for the most part. Well, just in general, they all help publishers. How do you guys introduce and increase awareness around those things for, you know, for the WordPress.com users? I, you know, obviously I have an account. Well, I guess not obvious, but I definitely do. But I don't really, I find out about the products through, you know, through the feeds and different sites that I read and stuff like that. How do you drive business in that way? I'm curious.
Yeah, so it's probably an area where we could do a better job, to be honest. So one thing that, you know, in the past, what we've done is just sort of counted on the word of mouth and, you know, the WordPress community and ecosystem just kind of spread the word. And that has worked pretty well. You know, we have a lot of our services are used by, you know, millions of people or even tens of millions of people. But we also have a lot of people who get a little bit confused because we have so many different products. And the we do a better job at making it easier for somebody who has a standalone WordPress site, it's not hosted on WordPress.com, to just tap into our services and to discover other services that we offer, you know, without being like sleazy and all marketing about it and try to, you know, get people to upgrade all the time or to try things all the time, but just kind of make it more clear that, hey, here's a set of services that work really well together that could make your site better. So we're going to invest in some of that, make the sort of sign up and upgrade flow, if there's not a, a premium version of it, you know, a lot simpler. And, you know, it's something we're going to invest in. I mean, it's frankly just, it's a lot of work and we keep building new things and we got to just over time make it smoother for people. And we do, you know, we have figured, like I said, we have a lot of people using our various services. Like one of them that, you know, it's, doesn't even get talked about that much, but it's the WordPress.com stats, where, you know, people can tap into the stats system on WordPress.com for their WordPress.org blog, and it's used by hundreds of thousands of people. We actually track a huge amount of traffic and stats for people that are outside of WordPress.com, and I think that's a great place to start to, you know, offer more awareness and more services through that.
Very cool. So we need to take a quick commercial break, and then we can come back and discuss whether you guys maybe actually just need a marketing manager, Tony. we'll do that after the break, then.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more WordPress Community Podcast after this.
250,000 dollars in cash prizes and all year long revenue share is what you can win when you enter the 2010 Internet Marketing World Cup competition. All competitors are rigorously screened to ensure the best competition and the best possible results. Before you tell others how to make it work for them, prove that your system actually works. Build your reputation in the competition that puts your system to the test and proves you are the best of the best. Sign up at www.internetmarketingworldcup.com. That's www.internetmarketingworldcup.com. Registration ends soon, so put your system to the test today.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at ClickBank.com.
Ecom Experts, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
The WordPress Community Podcast continues, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Once again, here's Joost Devok and Frederick Towns.
So, Tony, You actually said that you, in the past, you relied on the word of mouth, but it sounded a bit like you were telling us that Automattic has a job opening for a good marketing manager.
we actually are investing in marketing a little bit, and we, you know, and that's maybe something that looks a little bit different in our company because, you know, traditional marketing is not something we're hugely interested in, but by that I mean like, you know, the sort of press releases and, you know, trade shows kinds of stuff, but just making it more efficient to get the word out in the community and also to get people outside of WordPress to hear more about what we have to offer, I think is one of our goals.
Yeah, I think you're very right in doing so. You as a company, and I think the entire community has something to gain by doing that the best we can with all of us together. So one of the things I've always admired about the Mozilla community is the Spread Firefox campaign. And I've always been a bit wondering about how we could copy something like that onto WordPress. There's some small initiatives here and there, but maybe that's something we should just be doing as a community together and see if we can do something like that for ourselves and the world to improve it all.
I agree, and it's funny you mentioned that campaign because the guy who ran that campaign at Mozilla, their VP of marketing, was Paul Kim, and he now works for Automattic.
Yeah, it's not an entirely coincidence. no, but I have always been a fan of that campaign, and I know that Paul works for you. He was the guy who got you on the show last week, so I'm very grateful for him being there. It's just that I sometimes think we could do an even better job of promoting the product altogether, and I think we would all benefit. So it's just an open invitation, I guess, and a hand of help if you need one. We've only got a couple of minutes left because we had so much technical issues at the beginning. And I have actually prepared you, which makes you a very special guest because usually I just jump on our guests and tell them that we do plugin picks. But I've actually prepared you, so I was wondering if you had a plugin pick ready for us to share with our audience.
Yeah, you asked me before the show, and I was wondering if I should plug a Automattic plugin, but I think that would be too cheesy. So I have two plugins I like a lot recently. One of them is WP Touch, which I don't know, it might have been a plugin pick before, since that's a very popular one. We actually use that on WordPress.com as a default option when people visit a blog from a mobile device. WP Touch makes sure that it's formatted correctly, and it actually is much more usable, makes your blog much more usable for people who visit, especially from an iPhone. And then the second one I wanted to give a quick plug for is a plugin that we're starting to use a little bit on WordPress.com as well, and that's called Shrimp Test. and it was developed by Mitchell, and we actually helped him out a little bit this summer. He worked on it over the summer, and this is an A/B testing plugin for WordPress. So what it allows you to do is take two versions of your site and run them for different visitors coming to your site, and then compare their effectiveness. So it's really cool for things where we're testing like different headlines for things or different links, and seeing what's more effective.
Yeah, I know that both Frederick and myself have been reading up on its progress, so we're very interested to see what it'll do. It is cool stuff. It seriously is. And I've not played enough with it yet. I don't know if you've played with it already, Frederick. But
I did play with it. I actually helped make sure that W3 Total Cache was compatible with it.
Very good. So it'll actually work when I use it on my blogs.
Indeed.
Very good. So, Fred, do you have a plug and pick for us as well this week?
I've been working very religiously with custom taxonomies and post types, especially because of lots of the wonderful UI stuff that was added in the 3.0 branch. And one that's kind of caught my attention is well, I think it's one that will make it a lot easier to take advantage of custom taxonomies for lots of people who don't want to deal with too much code. It's called Ultimate Taxonomy Manager. And, just poking around the interface and everything else, very straightforward. It's informative. I think it's a solid plugin, so that is my pick.
Coming from you, that's something to say. I've not often heard you say that something is solid straight out of the book. Okay, cool. I'll have a look. And I'm actually going to go into a plugin that I've never picked on the show, but that I've been using a lot in the past and only started using again after WordCamp Bulgaria last week, which is yet another related posts. I've been switching back and forth between different related posts plugins to show related posts on my blogs. On Yoast.com, they were actually gone for quite a while. But this weekend, I had a good play with yet another related post, and their latest release seems to do a pretty awesome job of doing really good related posts and not got entirely good stats on it yet, but it seems to have, when I enabled them back on Yoast.com, it seems to have increased my average page views by about 20%, which I think is quite a bit. So average page views per visit. So I'm very happy with that and hoping that it'll continue this trend, because that's good for traffic, of course. Okay, Tony, do you have any closing thoughts for us? Anything you want to share with us that you think the entire WordPress community should know about?
Oh, boy, that's a big question.
It is.
Something the entire WordPress community should know about. I'll just plug WordCamp. Make sure that you constantly check if there's a WordCamp near you. I think they're wonderful events, and a ton of people who that was their introduction into the WordPress community, and it's gone really well for them.
Absolutely, I have the pleasure of being at several of them a year, and I always enjoy it thoroughly. And I know Frederick has recently done a couple too. It's a good plug. So check out that's at wordcamp.org has a list of all of them, right? Central.wordcamp.org, it'll redirect there immediately. Just so go check that out. And with that, we need to wrap up. I want to thank you for being here. It was a pleasure, Tony. I hope we'll have you back in the future when we've got more of these nice announcements coming from Automattic.
Thank you, guys. It was really fun.
Thank you. And with that, we'll see everyone next week. Next week, we've got Brian Clark from Copyblogger. So make sure you tune in.